Well, for those of you who don't know, my name is Gary Durbin, and I'm the Worship Arts Director here at Redemption. I've been here for almost a year, which is kind of crazy to think about. We've been here for almost, about 10 months, and I got to tell you, we love it. We love it here, love this church, love what God is doing. We love this season of our life as a family as well. Love the worship team that I get to serve with every week. Just incredible amount of talent that God's put in this church. Gifted people. Love the heart. Love the staff I get to work with every day. And I just love it here. And I also want to just take this opportunity to thank you as a church from our family, just to say thanks for taking us outsiders and making us feel like insiders very quickly. And just love our church. If you don't know, our church is... We're a blessed church. We really are. God is doing some really cool things here. We're blessed to be a part of it. I'm also thankful to be in a church that values this topic of worship that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. Values it so much that they ask the worship leader to speak on a Sunday morning. That's pretty big deal there. So I am thankful for that. I'm encouraged by our church as well, the growth that's happened not only numerically but also spiritually, and see what God's done even in this room as I lead you in worship most weeks. When I first moved here last year, one of the first things we did was a dessert night. Some of you were there for that. And my wife and I came on the stage, and you guys asked us questions that night as we ate dessert. And one of the questions that sticks out in my mind that stuck with me is somebody said, "What's your five-year plan here?" And I was like, I thought, well, to keep my job, but you know, what God has really shown me through that question is, what do I want here? What do we want here when it comes to worship? And it simply comes down to one word, and that's freedom. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What a great goal. What a great goal to know that the Spirit is not being quenched, but we have freedom in this place. So this morning, what I want to do is challenge you from God's Word. I've got the responsibility of wrapping up this series on worship, and we've talked about several different things, and I hope that your view of worship has really gotten broadened over the last few weeks, and how it really needs to be in every area of our life, whether it be at our work, or at our family, our relationships, or our finances. And we've talked about that it's more than you think. So it's more than just singing. It's more than what we do in this room. But I'm here today to go, hey, everybody, come back inside here. It's still the singing. There's still worship that happens in this place. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And we're going to talk about it, and we're going to look at God's Word to do that. So basically what I'm going to be talking about is corporate worship. And what that term simply means is God's people gathered together, just gathered together to worship Him. In Hebrews, it talks about the fact that we should not give this up. We should not forsake this. We should come in here and not give it up, but we should worship together. There's value in that. God values that. And what I'm suggesting this morning is that maybe what we do in here is more than we think. It's more than we think. So if you will, take your Bibles out. If you have a device or a Bible, we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 through 6. If you don't, it'll be on the screen for you this morning. And what we're going to see in this passage is a really cool picture, what I believe, of corporate worship. I think it's a really beautiful picture of that. Just to give you context before we get into it, the walls have been rebuilt here in Nehemiah has led them to do that. God's people are out of captivity. They've been in captivity for right around 70 years. And because they were in captivity, they were deprived of a lot of things. And one of those things was God's Word. So here we are, out of captivity. The walls have been rebuilt. And Nehemiah asked Ezra the priest to gather everybody together. Let's open God's Word for the first time in a long time. Let's have a worship service together. So that's what we're going to see here in this scripture. Let's read verse 1 through 6. And it says this, "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday." Remember that timeline, from early morning till midday, "in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." We'll stop right there. I don't know if you noticed that. I kind of pointed it out, but that timeline is correct. They opened the Bible, and they basically had a 6 to 7 hour sermon, most people believe. 6 to 7 hour sermon. Just bookmark that thought. We'll come back to that later. Continuing on in verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand. And Pedaiah, Mishael, Melchijah, Hashem, Hashbananah, Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. Yeah, I rehearsed those names this week. Yeah, I looked up the pronunciations. So, yeah, that was tough. But, you know, one thing I thought was that we have a lot of, like, young couples and people are having babies, so there's a list right there if you need some ideas. It'd be totally out of the box. Verse 5, continuing, it says, And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen, lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What a great picture of corporate worship that we see here. And what we see in this passage is basically two elements that I want to focus on this morning. And that's revelation and response. Revelation and response. Let's look at verse 2 and 3 again. We'll check this out. It says, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. In the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So a couple things we see here. One is that they are mentioning this water gate a couple times already in this scripture. Most people think there's significance to that. You know, as they rebuilt the walls, they had several gates, and one of those gates was the water gate, and they chose this place to have this worship service. Most people believe that there's significance in that location because in the Old Testament, water was actually symbolism for the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our lives. So a really cool location that they picked to have this worship service. Warren Wiersbe, a commentator, said this, When we apply the water of the Word to our lives, then the Spirit can work and bring help when we need. It is refreshing to the soul when you receive the Word and allow the Spirit to teach you. So what we see here in this passage we're going to talk about is revelation and response. Revelation and response. So right in this passage, what is the revelation for these people? Well, it's very simple. It's God's Word revealed. And it's the same for us today. And in case you didn't know, we need revelation in our life. We need it. We need revelation. These people were in captivity for right around 70 years. And at this point, they are thirsty for the Word of God that's been denied from them. Now, contrast that to us. Now, we are not in captivity from the Word of God. We are free. We have freedom, but too often, we quench that thirst with lesser things, if you think about it. We have freedom to gather. We have freedom to come in here and hear preaching and to worship together in song, but sometimes we complain about a 30-minute sermon every once in a while. It could be 6 to 7 hours, by the way. We complain, but not these people. We see here in the scripture that they were thirsty for revelation. It says that they were standing attentive. They were ready for revelation. The question is, are we? Are we ready for revelation? Because we need revelation if we are to worship. Great songwriter, worship leader, Matt Redman, he said this, Worship is about revelation and response. When it is hard to pray or to worship, it is always that we have not been listening to or opening our eyes to see the revelation of God. Knowing God always invokes a response of awe and adoration. We're talking about revelation, and then we're talking about response. We see in the scripture, too, that before a word was even read from the word, it says they opened the book of the law, and the people stood. And then the response began. So I was thinking about this sermon, I couldn't help but think about a life change that happened for our family in the last year since we've moved here, and that is that we bought a puppy, and his name is Toby. And Toby is a very, very smart puppy, yet very stupid at times, but very smart, very cute. And one of the things that my wife has trained him on is every day her alarm goes off on her phone to remind her that it's time to pick up the kids from school. And tied to this alarm is the song Can't Stop This Feeling by Justin Timberlake. So when the alarm goes off, you can't stop the feeling. And then Toby commences to dance, dance, dance because he's excited because he gets to get in the car and go pick up the kids. And, you know, as I was doing the sermon, I couldn't help but I was reading the scripture, and I thought of that. And, you know, when we hear God's word, when we hear his word revealed to us, we hear revelation, it's going to evoke a response in us. It's going to elicit a response from us. So let's talk about response. We see that in verses 5 through 6. We'll look at those again. Verse 5 says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." We see a revelation and we see a response. That's what we can see in this passage this morning. But the rest of my time, what I like to do is just ask the question, what can we do with this? Okay, we can see the revelation, we can see the response, but what can we do with this passage? And so in order to answer that question, I'm changing these words to expectation and expression. Expectation and expression. This is what we can do. See, when we come expecting revelation from the Lord, then we will respond by expressing worship. So let's talk about expectation first. Expectation. Now, we saw in our passage this morning in verse 3 that the people were attentive. Even though it was a 6 to 7 hour sermon, the people were thirsty, they were ready, they were attentive. That tells me they were really expecting something great. That tells me that they came expecting, they came ready, they came thirsty. And so should we. So I've been a worship leader in the local church for the last 15 years. And one thing I've learned is there's two types of people that come to church services. Okay? The first type is those that come expecting. The second type is those that come inspecting. Okay? So when you think about an inspector's, part of an inspector's job is you're supposed to find flaws, correct? I mean, that's part of the job. And guess what? When you come to a church service every Sunday and you come in inspecting, guess what? You're going to find some flaws. You may come in with an inspecting spirit, and you may go, man, it's just too loud in here. Or, man, it's too soft. They need to crank this up. Or it's too hot, or it's too cold. Or you came in this morning, and you're like, where's the guy that usually has the guitar and leads the worship? He's not up there this morning. And then you saw me walk up, and you're like, what the heck is happening? This, you know, what's going on? And, you know, an inspecting person is, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think God has gifted those people with that. I mean, you to have an eye for detail, to look at the small things, it's all good. But the problem with that is it won't really help you with worship. It won't help you with corporate worship. It won't help you really boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence. Instead, you might be tiptoeing in here with distractions all around you and kind of missing the grand picture and missing the beauty of what God's doing in here. When we come in inspecting, we're going to find flaws. But when we come expecting great things from a great God, you will see that every single time. When we come expecting. The Bible says that God's mercies are new every single day. When we come expecting revelation, and not just a good sermon, not just good music, but when we come expecting revelation, to hear from God himself, it's going to elicit a response from us. This idea of corporate worship, revelation, and response. I had the privilege in 2009 to go to Africa, and I was there on a missions trip. And it was a big perspective getter for me, you know, on this topic, because they asked me to lead worship at a church service one Sunday morning. So I showed up, and I was there probably about 30 minutes before it was supposed to start. And when I walked in, I saw a few people already there, and they were sitting in the pews, kind of spread out, and they were just sitting like this. And they were very just calm, and you could just tell that they were ready. They were ready for the service to start. And more than likely, they'd traveled a long way there on foot, you know, to get there. And they were ready. They came expecting big things from a big God. So I said hi to them, and then I went to the back to get my guitar ready. And as I'm tuning up my guitar, I started hearing keyboard music. And it was really bad. I mean, really bad keyboard music. And then the next thing I hear is people singing. So I'm like, I got to check this out. So I go out to the worship center, and I look, and there's more people there at this point. And it's like 25 minutes before we start, and these people are fully engaged worshiping the Lord with horrible keyboard music. You know what that tells me? That they came expecting great things from a great God. That they didn't get caught up inspecting stuff. What a contrast, right? I mean, if you think about it. When you think about the American church and the things that we have to do, we love you all, by the way. We love you all that you come here. But we got to do some crazy things sometimes just to kind of get you in the door. And, you know, we put a countdown up and change the lights and the music and the just like, come in, come on, let's worship, you know, together. What a contrast when you think about it. But when you come expecting great things from a great God, you will get it every time. When you come expecting revelation from God, then you will respond by expressing worship. So let's talk about expression, all right? We've talked about expectation. Now let's talk about expression. This is the fun part of the sermon. So we saw in the passage that when God's word was opened, that the people stood. And basically what has happened is the response began, and we see that carry over into verse 6 with all the different expressions that we see in corporate worship. Now, just so you know, there's all kinds of different biblical expressions that we can use in corporate worship. These aren't our ideas. A movement didn't come up with these, but these are straight from God's word. We have expressions like singing, clapping, shouting, bowing down. There's dancing, if you like to dance. That's in the Bible as well. And then we have hand raising, which is a very popular one. And I think there's something about hand raising and worship. It's a freedom factor. I know the first time I lifted my hands in worship and got past that fear of it, it was something, I don't know, I just couldn't explain it. It was something freeing about it. Like, I didn't care what people thought. I was just kind of bold at that point in my worship. Now, I realize that not everybody understands that and doesn't really get that. You're not quite there. So I thought I would drop a little levity on this sermon and watch a funny little video from a comedian named Tim Hawkins. And he's going to talk to us and give us an informative bit about hand raising in church. Let's watch that.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to, Tim. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're at my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. We got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite. The circle of life. Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five, press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky, touchdown. There you go, there's your big three. You're set.
Oh man. So one unique thing I've learned about our church is that there's an enormous amount of coffee drinkers in the worship service. Like I see coffee cups. I've never seen so many coffee cups. So I didn't want to leave you guys out. So you have the hand warmer, the receiver, the concealed carry, and then of course the arms high, heart abandoned. So didn't want to leave the coffee drinkers out this morning. we're having fun. But you know, seriously, we don't want you to misunderstand this morning. Because we don't believe that all this is about expression. We don't just want more expression in our church. You know what we want more of? We want more passion. That's what we want. More passion. Do you know expression is a byproduct of passion? If you really think about it, it's a byproduct. When you express yourself physically in worship, you're doing something very bold. What you're saying is, I'm boldly proclaiming my passion for the Lord. One thing that kind of hit me when I was doing this sermon is that the fact that we are not passive about what we're passionate about. I mean, if you really think about it, we're not passive about what we're passionate about, whether that be singing, clapping, raising hands, or throwing a cup of coffee in the air, you know. We're not passive when we're passionate about something or someone. I know people I've done the sermon a few times, and people have talked to me about that, and they said, you know, I'm just really not an expressive kind of person, you know. It's just not my personality. And I understand there's different personalities, and some people are more subdued than others. But my challenge to you this morning is this. Everyone has something that gets them going to a point of expression. Think about that. Everyone has something that gets them going to a point of expression. That could be good or that could be bad. You know, for some people it'd be money. It gets them excited. Or possessions. How about politics? Does that get people excited just a little bit? We've seen some expression on that over the last year. And then, of course, there is sports. So, you know, like I said at the beginning of the service, or beginning of the sermon, I believe confession is a really good part of worship. And I do have to confess something to you all, okay? I am a lifetime, diehard Boston Celtics fan. And I greatly appreciate the kind words I've received and the prayers. I had someone put on my Facebook, they said, "Don't worry, Gary, it'll all be over on Tuesday night." But I have to tell you, I'm not a Cleveland Cavaliers hater. I actually like the Cavs. I'm rooting for the Cavs as they are probably going to be going to the finals. And I love LeBron, always been a fan of him. And, you know, when I was accepted this position. I was going to be moving here. I was in Denver last year before I moved here, and I was there when the finals were going on. So I was watching Game 7 there and excited, wanted to see the Cavs win it. And I couldn't help but think, man, I wonder what's going on in Ohio right now. Like, I wish I was there already. Because I'm sure all of you in this room, you were watching that Game 7, and as the clock ticked down, and LeBron gets interviewed, and he says, "Cleveland, this is for you." That all of us in this room probably went, "Good job, LeBron. Well done, Cavs. Good season. I'm going to go to bed now." Of course not. Listen, everyone has something that gets them to the point of expression, that we all are passionate about something and we're not passive about what we're passionate about. Let me ask you a question, everybody. Why can't that something be God? Jack Hayford, a pastor and author, said this: "It is unfortunate that reverence has become synonymous with silence. To the contrary, there are some situations in which the least appropriate response is silence. The celebration of God's loving kindness, power, and faithfulness should inspire praiseful expressiveness." I love this quote from Rick Warren. He said this: "As passive worship is an oxymoron." We are not passive about what we're passionate about. We think about the ways we can express our passion, express our worship to the Lord. They're all biblical ways that didn't come from some movement or some church history or some idea or somebody's opinion. This came from God's word. That's the beauty of it. Let me show you some scriptures this morning. Psalm 47:1 says this: "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph." It was cool. A couple weeks ago, I had somebody come up to me in the atrium, and they said, "Man, I'm glad we're a clapping church. That's really cool." And I trust and assume that we are clapping and celebrating to the Lord in this place. Psalm 95:1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." Psalm 69, this is a verse Pastor Rick shared with me. This is really good. "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs." You know, sometimes God wants a song more than he wants a sacrifice. I thought that was a really cool passage. Did you know there's over 400 scriptures in the Bible dealing with singing? Just with singing. Thank God for some of us, it doesn't say you have to sing well. And for those of you who can't sing well, here's your scripture. Psalm 98, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises." I believe a singing church is a healthy church. I really do. I don't believe everything that we do in here is the end-all of a church, but I do believe it can be a tell-all. You know, where's our passions? Where's our passions at? Psalm 134, verse 2 says, "Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." They don't seem to be passive, do they? Doesn't seem to be suggestions either. Doesn't say, "Hey, if you feel comfortable, do these things." But it seems to be almost mandates from the Lord. This is what he wants from us in worship. And I realize not everybody is there. Not everybody's right there, ready to go with expression. And I was thinking about the reasons for that. And this is what I come up with, reasons you don't express yourself. I think the first thing would be you don't understand it. You know, you just don't understand. You don't know what the Bible is saying about this. And maybe you're in here today and you're not a believer. You don't believe this stuff. And you just don't understand all this. And we hope that you come to that point for sure. The next step would be that maybe you were like me and you were taught that it was wrong. I grew up in a very conservative church and basically was taught that it was wrong to express myself in worship, to get excited about the Lord. And you were just taught it was wrong. Well, they were wrong. And the last thing would be pride. What are people going to think of me? What do I look like right now? I don't want to put myself out there. You know, you see those reasons we don't. But then there's reasons you do, and I call this is like three O's of expression, or kind of the expression progression here. The first thing would be obligation, where maybe you just feel like that. Man, the worship leaders will be like, "So lift your hands." You kind of feel obligated. You don't want to tick the worship leader off today. The next step would be obedience. You know God's word and you want to fulfill it. And then the last thing would be overflow. I believe this is where we want to be, overflow. To the point where we're filling ourselves with God's love, his grace, his goodness throughout the week that we can't help, but we just overflow in expression and our love for him because we are passionate. Because we are passionate about Jesus, because we are passionate about the gospel, because we are passionate about revelation. And the least we can possibly do is to come expecting and to come expressing that kind of love and that kind of passion. Another thing that really hit me when I was doing this sermon was that we have a passionate revelation. We have a very passionate revelation when you look at the revelation of the Lord. The question is, do we have a passionate response to that? Do we have a passionate response? What I'm suggesting this morning is that what we do in this room, when it comes to corporate worship, it actually may be more than we think. It's not the end all, but I think it can be a tell all. What are we passionate about? What are we passive about? My prayer this morning is that you feel encouraged, that you feel challenged. I pray that you feel inspired. I pray that you feel freedom. I pray that you feel permission from God's word to boldly proclaim your love for him. In this series that I'm wrapping up today, we've learned a lot about worship. I mean, we've learned a lot about how it needs to be in every aspect of our life, whether it be work, whether it be in finances, whether it be in our relationships, whether it be in here. We've learned a lot about that. And I think that Monday through Saturday, I totally believe that if we fill ourselves with the Lord and his revelation, if we fill ourselves with him, that we will come in here, we won't be able to help but express our love for him, to respond to the revelation with expectation and with expression, with worship. So as I was doing this sermon, I just didn't feel right about like closing here and then praying and then doing a benediction and say, see you later. I just feel like we need to respond. You know, we give you a chance to respond. So will you stand with us this morning? I'm going to have the worship team come out. Let's respond to the Lord this morning. Let's respond to his revelation, not to a sermon, but let's respond to the Lord himself. The Bible says he is here with us this morning. So let's do it. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the chance to respond to it. Thank you for loving us as much as you do. God, we are so undeserving of you. So undeserving of your revelation in our life. So undeserving of your love. But yet you give it. May we receive it today. And then, God, may we respond. May we give you the worship that only you deserve in this place. We pray that you are blessed by our praise today. And may we be blessed because we came here this morning as we lift up this song to you. Amen.